Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 8. Also, Acts, chapter 2. And I forgot to tell Cheryl the title of my message, but the title of the message is If You Continue. That's what I want to talk about today. John, chapter 8, verse 31. Begin there. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, If you abide in my word, King James, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And over in Acts chapter 2, in verse 40, And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And so I want to stop there. It's just notice it says they continued steadfastly. Verse 46 says they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. I'll get in here in a minute. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray, Lord, that you would just encourage us and strengthen us in the faith, God, as we look into the truth of Scripture. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Is God. Have you ever started something and you didn't finish it just because you didn't continue? Amen. Don't look at your wife or husband. Just concentrate on the Lord. Praise the Lord. But we the church must continue. There's many people who learn a trade, but they get where they can't do the trade that they've learned because they don't continue to practice it. And there's people that learn to play a musical instrument, but they don't continue to practice anymore, and they just forget what they were doing. And there's people that have been combing their hair once and thought that was it. It's like the man who told his wife, said, I love you, when he married her. 40 years later, she complained that he hadn't told her since. He said, I told you I loved you when I married you. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Well, that's not good marriage counseling there at all. Amen. You need to tell her today. But the church is blessed. It has Christ as its founder and as its center. And we must be in pursuit of the spiritual. And Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You know, if we don't continue in his word, are we really his disciples? That's the other side of it. But Jesus said, if you continue, and that's what we want to do. We want to continue on. We didn't start this race to stop somewhere along the way. We didn't start serving Jesus to give up somewhere. And Jesus had in mind for people to start the race and to finish it. People, God had in mind for us to proclaim Christ as our Savior and just walk with him and follow him until the day he calls us home. Whether it's by the way of the grave or the rapture of the church, which I think could happen any time. Yeah, which one? The rapture. Okay. Amen. But let's just notice, first of all, people that live for God usually start off strong. And they're saved, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're ready to live for God, they're ready to tell other people about Jesus. It's the greatest thing they've ever found. And so, but we got to continue in our relationship with God. Just as an illustration here, the fastest known mammal on earth is the cheetah, and it's been recorded for short distances to run up to 60 miles per hour when chasing its foe, or not its foe, but chasing its game. And it can continue this 60 mile an hour speed limit for a very short distance, but no further, because it quickly runs out of breath and it can't continue. But friend, you and I have got to continue to walk with God, and God will give us the grace and the strength to continue on as we walk with Him. We fill with the Holy Spirit, and many believers start off strong in the Lord, but they don't continue. I've seen it happen so many times. People, after a little while, the excitement of being saved, being born again, just kind of dies down. After a while, it withers away, and they come to church less and less. They read their Bible on occasion, you know, Christmas and Easter, and they don't really keep on for God. They don't continue on, but you and I must continue. Praise the Lord. The early church, what we have an example of, it started very strong. It began in the second chapter of Acts. We know that Jesus had told the disciples, and the people says, don't depart from Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. He said, God was saying here, don't just start strong. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, not just for a one-time fullness of the Spirit, but I want you to keep being filled with this Holy Spirit. And that's where the church misses it today, because God didn't just want us to get an Acts 2:4 experience one time and that'd be it from then on, but God meant for us to be continually filled with His Spirit so that we can continue to live for Him. And so the early church started strong. Acts 2:1, you've heard it many times. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one place and one accord. That's a miracle in itself. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues like as a fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And at that, we don't want to stop right there, because the chapter goes on. You know, there's quite a number of verses. I read some of them while ago that it continued on. And we find here that Peter began to stand and preach the word of God. You know, some people said these people are drunken with new wine because they heard them speak with other tongues, because they were behaving differently than they were at this annual feast, more than they usually did, because God this time poured out His Holy Spirit in a powerful way to get the church going and to begin there and to empower His 120 there to continue on and preach the gospel. And so they started off strong, praise the Lord. And Peter was one who had repented of his denial of Christ at the cross, and he was repentant, and Jesus talked to him after Christ's resurrection. Jesus talked to him, he repented, and we see he's the first one on the day of Pentecost to step out, and he preached the message of the cross. He preached the blood. As a matter of fact, Peter was very bold under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He says, this Jesus you crucified and hung on a tree, God has raised him up, and he's now the reason you're seeing and hearing what you see and hear. And so we know that Peter began to preach. He's a different man. He preached the cross, preached the blood, preached repentance, amen. And he had a great response. 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom that day. No doubt there was shouting going on. There was people that were joyous there. There was people that weren't very happy there, but they were glad. The others were glad that God had talked to this nation again. And the Bible says that they continued. The verses that we read, verse 42, they continued with one accord. And so they continued to be filled with the Spirit. And so many who are saved and filled somewhere did not continue forward in their faith. It's a wonderful thing to be born again, to be saved. The Word of God says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. When a person is truly born again, their way of thinking changes. They see the world differently than they used to. Amen. They don't run with the same sinful crowd that they used to. They may try to win them to Jesus, and you should, but they don't do the things they used to do. They don't go the places they used to go. They're not entertained by the things that they used to be entertained by, because they've got a spiritual mind now. They've been born again, birth of God's Spirit, and they've made the decision to go forward for Christ. Hallelujah. At least they should have. And so the work of Christ at the cross, when people do not continue, it becomes less and less in their thoughts. It's difficult for me to understand how that anyone can think of the cross of Calvary, what Jesus bore on the cross, that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, how he bore all of the sins and the guilt and the shame of all the sins of the whole world, and how a person can just lose touch with that and not be thankful for that anymore. But that happens when people don't continue in their walk with God. And so many are saved and filled, but they don't move forward in their faith. But the work of Christ on the cross must not be a faint thing in our lives. It must be a continual reality to you and I. Praise God. Every time we take communion here, we do once a month, it reminds us that this was for me, that Jesus did what he did for me personally. It becomes personal to each one of us. He died for my sins. He died for each of us personally. Praise God. He wanted you to spend eternity with him in heaven instead of in hell. Amen. But when people go on, if they do not continue in their faith, the memory of Jesus begins to fade. People backslide when they are no longer in love with Jesus. Or they develop some false theology that lead other peoples into a false gospel. In the book of 1 John, it tells us some of this group. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So these were false believers, perhaps people who had an experience with God, but they didn't continue on. It says, if they really truly had been with us, they would have continued with us. There's people that take that and say they never were saved to start with. That could be a possibility. Or maybe they were saved and just didn't continue and they slipped off into backslid and turned away from God. But they replaced their love for God with a love of other things, which is what happens so many times. There's a man in the Bible, the Old Testament, that he's got a legacy there. And it's not a good one. His name was King Ahaz. A-H-A-Z. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. That means he had a habit and a practice of becoming less and less connected to the God that saved Israel to start with. He became continually unfaithful. And I will tell you, unfaithfulness just leads to more unfaithfulness. So after a while, you're not faithful at all. And not in pursuit of the things of God. And not continuing to follow God. And it says about King Ahaz, now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. Increasingly, you would think when a person's in a time of distress, they turn back to God, but here he became increasingly unfaithful to God because of idolatry. He called on the gods that he had traded the Lord God of Israel for, and they couldn't answer. He just became increasingly unfaithful to God. And it says, the word of Scripture says, and this is that King Ahaz. And this was his legacy, and even up till today, he is known as the King that became continually unfaithful to God. He did not continue in his pursuit of the one true God. Okay? But let me tell you, Jesus was loyal to us in that he never failed to love the sinner, and nor does he fail today. One of his 12 disciples, Judas, over time left his love for Jesus and fell in love with a ministry income. And the Bible says that he was a thief and that he stole from the offering. Didn't say those exact words, but he stole from the box the money was kept in there, and people donated money for them to feed the poor and to do things for God. And so Judas became so overcome, you know, money is not the root of all evil, but the love of money is. Of all kinds of evil, not the only love. But we see here eventually Judas would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Why? Judas had seen more miracles than you and I will ever see. He had walked with Jesus 3 years. He knew all the signs and the wonders. He's seen people raised from the dead. He saw people healed. He saw people delivered. He saw people set free. He saw demon-possessed people fully delivered and set free, a new person. Amen. He saw the lame walk, the blind see. He saw everything you could see as far as a miracle goes. But somewhere along the line, he began to love other things. He didn't love Jesus anymore. And he loved the silver and he loved the gold. He wanted that more than anything until he was willing to betray his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Why did he do this? Because he did not continue on in his pursuit of God. His love for Christ became less and less. And that's what we must guard against. not just to start strong, but number two, we want to finish strong. But to finish strong, we must continue in our faith. In the early church, in the book of Acts, they never looked back. They pursued Christ's command to reach their known world, and they reached the known world of their day. The Apostle Paul began his ministry on the Damascus Road, going there to put Christians in prison before the cause of Christ. But on that Damascus Road, he was saved. He had an encounter with God. Jesus spoke to him personally and said, "Saul, Saul, what are you doing?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." And we know he was converted on that Damascus Road. He was saved, and he came on into the place, and Cornelius, or I forget what his name was, came, Ananias came and laid hands on him that he might receive the Holy Spirit, and he did. And from that moment on, I mean, he was a completely changed man. He preached Christ. He preached the gospel he once persecuted. And that's a miracle. Filled with the Spirit, however, the Apostle Paul never looked back. He continued on to live for God. He never looked with any desire for his former life. As a matter of fact, he hated his former life. And when he was told when he would go to Jerusalem, and there he would be captured for his faith, and eventually to Rome, where he would die for his faith, and people told him, says, "The Spirit of God has told us if you go there, then you're going to suffer martyrdom for your faith." But he said in Acts 20:24, he says, "None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy, which I have received from the Lord to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." And at the end of Paul's life, he could say the words we've heard many times, "I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all those that love his appearing." So Paul kept it until the end. How did he do that? He continued what Christ had worked in his done his life. He continued to live for God. He stayed with it. He didn't stop somewhere along the way. He had many persecutions. If he had reasons to quit in the natural, he would have, because he suffered persecution. He was stoned and left for dead once. He was beaten many times, three times, with rods and stripes. And so he knew what it was to suffer for the cause of Christ. And he could have given up and say, "I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. The price is too great." But no, my friend, he stepped up. He continued on for God, and he'll be in heaven, and we'll meet him one day in heaven with Jesus there. Hallelujah. So he not only started strong, but he finished strong. But you and I, we must continue. Back over to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Amen. Sometime in heaven, I won't need these glasses anymore. Neither will you. No glasses in heaven. Hadn't found the scripture on that yet. No iPod, iPhone, or anything else. But we must continue. Acts 2:42, we find the disciples there had received the Spirit of God. And this is still the second chapter of Acts. Powerful time. 3,000 souls have been saved and added to the kingdom of God. And things were looking very good. God was doing great things. They still met at the temple at the hour of prayer. They still prayed there. It would eventually split off into churches and gatherings, which many times were not in fancy buildings. Many times they were just in people's homes. But they didn't stop just because the day of Pentecost was over and people had gone back home from this annual feast. But it says here, Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Those four things they continued in. Let's look at, first of all, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, teaching. That's what doctrine is. And that doctrine, if we look in the same chapter, was definitely a doctrine of the cross. 2:23, chapter 2, verse 23. Peter preaches here and expects him, Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put him to death. And so the doctrine that they continued in was the doctrine of the Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. But it surely would include not only the cross, but the resurrection. whom God, verse 24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For you see, Jesus, or God the Father, he had authority over death. And not only did Jesus die for our sins and pay the price for our sins, thank God for that, praise the Lord, we're declared not guilty by faith in Christ today, but not only that, but God raised Jesus from the dead so that when he comes again, he can raise us from the dead. He has the authority over life and death. He has the authority to give eternal life to whosoever will. And I'm glad for that. People will do whatever they can to stay alive for 5 more minutes in this world, in the physical body, and people will do whatever they can to escape death, and thank God for it, and we should be protective of ourselves and stuff like that, and not do stupid things like jump off a cliff and pray for God to catch us. Amen. God gives you some common sense. He expects you to use it. But Jesus conquered death and has the authority to give eternal life to whosoever will. No, the outward man perishes, this old physical body will wear out. But the spirit man, when you're born again, the spirit man inside you doesn't age. It's ready to meet God at all times. If you're saved, it's ready to meet God at all times. So they continue in the apostles' doctrine, the resurrection. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine there. We can find there they had some wonderful things there in their teachings. Verse 38. Then Peter said to them, and after Peter preached his message, they fell under conviction because, you see, national Israel had not accepted Jesus as the Messiah. Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Does it mean his baptism is necessary for salvation? No, he's saying here, because to identify with Christ in baptism would mean that they had accepted Christ as the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. They believed in God the Father, they believed in the Holy Spirit, but they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Many of them did, national Israel did not. And so Paul said, you've got to identify with Christ, be baptized in Jesus. You identify with him, because he's part of it too, praise the Lord. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So repentance was here. Peter preached repentance, something people don't like to do because it's hard for us to admit that we're ever wrong about anything. But just to make you feel better, I've been wrong about a lot of things. And I know that some of you probably won't tell me what they are. But repentance is coming to God and say, God, I've changed my mind on this thing. I realize I am wrong. And you repent. Ask God's forgiveness. And he said, also, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit baptism, like they received in the first 4 verses here in Acts chapter 2. It was for people then and today. And that was part of the doctrine and the teaching of the scriptures, of the apostles here. They continued on, amen, in the apostles' doctrine. For this promise, meaning the Holy Spirit, is to you and to your children, to all who are afar off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. You say, well, Pastor, I heard somebody say one time that all of that stuff was just for the apostles when they died off, that everything, that there's no more any manifestations anymore. Well, I can't find that in the scripture, but I do find here he says, to you, to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. This spirit baptism was for everybody then and for now. And it's what the church desperately needs today, is the fullness of God's Holy Spirit. And so that was part of the doctrine of the early church, should still be a part of the doctrine of the new of our church. Amen, as we continue on. And their part of their doctrine was the breaking of bread. No doubt some of them had remembered Jesus breaking bread at the Last Supper and saying, this bread is my body. And of the communion cup, representing his blood. And so no doubt they continued to observe the Lord's Supper. Amen. Matter of fact, Paul told the church in Corinth, he said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do remember the Lord's death till he comes. He said, you keep on remembering what I did on the cross until I return. And they continued breaking bread. They continued in fellowship. Thank God for fellowship. And fellowship has to do with building a relationship with other believers, first of all with the Lord, but with other believers, fellowship with the Lord, but fellowship with other believers for encouragement, for talking to one another about spiritual things, about the Bible and about the second coming. I wonder so many times, what does our conversations get off into? And we talk about politics, we talk about this, that, and the other, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I am saying that really should what should be on our mind is what God is doing, how God is operating in my life. Brother or sister, do you need me to pray for you? You know, if they're sick, pray for them. If they're in, if they don't want you to pray for them anyway. Because they don't want you to pray for them, they need you to continue to pray. Praise the Lord, that'll work. In breaking of bread and fellowship, praise God. Let me give you an example of this, and this is a true story. There was a dying minister, not just any old dying minister, but I heard this being testified to by a man that was there with this dying minister. He was on his deathbed. He couldn't get up. This was it. You know, he'd been laying there for a while, and another brother came in and began talking to him, and they began talking about preaching. He said, "Do you remember when you used to preach?" And the dying man said, "Yes, I remember. Very fondly, I used to preach the gospel." He said, "Do you remember preaching on the second coming of the Lord? Preaching to people that Jesus is coming back again, is going to return in the clouds of heaven?" He said, "Yes, I remember that." He said, "Wouldn't you like to preach that one more time, brother?" And the dying man said, "Yeah, I really would." And he began talking a little bit about it. The dying man did. And after a while, what he couldn't do, he began to sit up in bed, and he began to continue to preach on the second coming of the Lord. And what he wasn't able to do is stand up, and in a minute he was standing up, and he was preaching a message on the second coming of the Lord, and God had completely healed him while he was proclaiming the gospel. That's a work of God. That's a true story. That's a miracle of God's divine healing and deliverance. So it shows that God can still do things today. Praise the Lord. And so they continued in fellowship, breaking of bread, and they continued in prayer. The church began to pray, and they continued to pray for grace and strength and power to help whenever persecution came along, and persecution did come. Matter of fact, most of them gave their lives for their faith, or they were required to lay down their lives rather than to reject Jesus Christ. But they were a praying church, praise the Lord. They didn't just talk about prayer or read books on prayer, they prayed. Chapter 4 of Acts, verse 29. They are praying here because they have been threatened and persecuted. And he says, "Now, Lord, look on the threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." My friend, why shouldn't we just pray for today, God, for signs and wonders to be done? Amen. For the purpose of glorifying our Lord, not just so we can feel better, but to glorify the Lord. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Praise the Lord. So, my friend, if we're a praying church, then we ought to expect the supernatural. Because we serve a God that the supernatural is just natural to Him. Hallelujah. So let's pray and believe God to give us boldness to stand, to testify boldness even this evening, to stand and to testify of Him wherever we're at, to pray with people. Out there, say, "Well, I don't know anybody." You don't have to know somebody to pray for them. Somebody prayed for you when they didn't know you. That's why you're saved. Amen. So God will help us. And so they continued on in that. And the Bible says they continued on to meet for worship. Hebrews 10:25, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching." Then it is approaching. They continue to worship. I don't know where you are today, but maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Have been through a revival that some people missed all nights of it. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to God. Maybe you need to renew your commitment to the Lord. Amen. And I mean, it doesn't mean that you've backslidden and on your way to hell just because you missed a meeting. But we need to rededicate our lives to God and be committed to His cause and your plan. Or perhaps that you've had trouble continuing. And there are other things in this. You may have had some continual troubles and hindrances in your life that have hindered you from going on for God like you need to. I can tell you, God still loves you. God still cares. God didn't fall out of love with you. He loves you. He wants you to make it. It's His will. It's His will for you to get close to Him and to serve Him. Amen. Would you stand with me?